I just think when you watch the game, I don't know how anyone can look in that first quarter and put any of the pressure issues on Deshaun, other than maybe he should have tried to shorten up his drop back. At the same point, guys were getting him to him up the middle so much. What other choice did he have? So do you get sacked by Kayvon Thibodeau or do you get sacked by Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, it got to be pretty embarrassing if you think about it. Blitzed on 57% of his dropbacks. Giants entered week three with blitzes of 25%. I had some other numbers attached to this as well if you want to hear them. I mean, they're kind of wild. 16 sacks total in three games. That's the most times sacked by a Browns quarterback. It just gets worse and worse. And within that game, it just gets worse and worse the more that you see it, to a point where you know that he's got problems. You know that he's got issues. He was sacked a ton in Houston, led the league in sacks in Houston as well. But how much can you actually put on Deshaun there?
Yeah, and I think, well, and so to kind of go with what you're saying, like there's a catch-22 here. If you think it's the offensive line, just do more jumbo sets. The problem is you're going to be limiting the amount of receivers you have out there, which is going to take away options for Deshaun.
Yeah. So,
okay, all right.
You can't talk about him not finding anyone that's open. And yes. By the way, the broadcast highlighted multiple plays where it's like, all right, now slow it down right here, and you can see how no one's open right now, and he's got no chance of being able to complete a play here.
So I look at it this way, because you actually came up. I was going to talk about, like, all right, how much is on the line, how much is on Deshaun, which there's so many other factors in there. That's probably not a succinct enough question, so you came up with, Is this more than a Watson problem? And 216-474-0092, I think it is. And I do think all of their problems are like the snake eating its own tail. Like, I do think if just one thing got right, you'd see other things kind of fall right back in place. At the same point, I don't know how people watch the last 3 weeks and think it's just a Deshaun problem.
I'm right there with you. I feel like if you say it's just Deshaun, you're just... Well, you're whistling past the graveyard is all you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's more of that first on the moon thing.
Yeah.
I want to be the Neil Armstrong of saying that Deshaun has no chance of doing this.
I think you're right. I think there's a segment of the fan base that wants to be, because you don't want to be late on that. You don't be late. You don't be sitting there and Deshaun stinks and you're just like, I think he's still going to be good. No one wants to be that guy. But how is three games nearly enough? And when you watch this team, You see the problems. And even within the run game, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, that's bad.
We had 12, by running backs, we had 12 carries for 42 total yards.
And can I say, though, I think that's another problem with the offensive line. Because, and again, run fits and how you're supposed to run the ball does matter. But like, all right, and I think the way this has been set up for a while is you've got a bunch of elite run blockers and some guys who are pretty okay, like good, not great, as pass protectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if this is supposed to be the thing that you're great at, then even with run fit issues or communication issues, if you're running the ball, it's really just see guy, get guy. And so I don't think this is just about Jerome Ford or Deontay Foreman not being Nick Chubb. I think maybe we're seeing maybe part of that eliteness up front was that Nick Chubb made up for when you didn't have the right guy in the right block, in the right helmet.
I mean, that's going to be a chicken or the egg question I think we have for a long time with that. There's a lot of people that said Nick Chubb was the greatest running back we've ever seen. And then there's a lot of other people that were like, well, we have had the best offensive line in the sport next to the Dallas Cowboys for the previous 5 years.
Like, I think the simplest way to get this started is to fix up front. Because then if Deshaun has more time or then if other problems persist.
What's the easy fix here, though? Because I know they're going to bring in a lot of different guys, but anyone at this point that they're going to acquire isn't going to be your answer there unless they get you're going to have like a Wyatt Teller when he was at Buffalo and then got traded here situation where then we mold him into being awesome. Because I don't know that Andy Dickerson has the track record of that. What's your fix here?
I think you got to fix the interior of the offensive line first. And I think that's unfortunate because you owe some money to Ethan Posick. But I think the second half of that game, when Ethan slid over to left guard, I think Nick Harris got an audition, and I think he passed it. I think a lot of those communication issues, I don't want to say a lot of them, I think several of them were cleaned up when a different center came in. And at the same point, when Joel, has not played left tackle very often in his pro career during games, when he slid out to left guard, or with left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, you said you liked that. You liked that little setup that they had, the Petonio, Harris, Posick, Zinner, and DeJuan Jones one.
Yeah, I think that's where you start. And, well, okay.
And we spent so much time talking about the tackles, we didn't even get to the guard problems, and now we have guard problems.
The left tackle thing probably takes care of itself if Conklin is actually ready this week. But so
that's a big if, and he plays injured all the time.
Yeah, so I think that's where you start. But I do think, like, I think some of it's on play calling. Kevin's not comfortable. You can just tell. Like, even with that sequence of Jameis Winston on 3rd and 1, which was in no way imaginative. It was the most telegraphed play ever, so much so that I was like, it's a trick play. It's got to be, because we've only seen Jameis in this context.
I wondered if he was doing the zigging while everyone else was zagging type thing.
And then he zagged when they were zagging.
Right. And that was the problem, is that, I don't know, did they not watch the Jacksonville game last week? They were very unimpressed with the idea that he would take Jerome Ford and go on the outside and do something special. They were like, Jameis is going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to do the thing that he's going to do here, and it's not going to go well for them.
But to then follow that up with an RPO, even though the O-line had played better in the second half, specifically when the changes came out with Harris at center and Betonio at left tackle, to go with the RPO, and that's, it was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I do wonder, though, sometimes, because, again, we talk about the lineman that he was down and everything else, and the run game that really wasn't working and doing anything. Sometimes I think about, and we don't put it in this context, so I want to see if you agree or disagree. A lot of times in baseball, when you have relievers, and you have bad relievers playing, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, just he doesn't pull the right strings with the bullpen. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times with baseball coaches, it's just because they don't have the relievers to get the job done. In this instance, with Stefanski, we can talk about his play designs and his play calls, where we know he's usually his strength. Did he just not have the pieces to get it done?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to set it up again. With how that game goes, a telegraphed third down play into you keep the offense on the field when you could have punted it, which Bohorquez has been your biggest asset this year,
sure,
and trust the defense.
Well, he's playing desperate at that point.
So, okay. So
he was.
So now, okay, first decision leads to second decision, but then the play is a play where, yes, Jordan Akins was open, but think about the context of that game. Deshaun sped up. Like, that's where, like, I hear what you're saying, but those three plays, or those decisions row, speak to a guy who's maybe not maybe not putting enough thought into what's the simplest way to do this. RPOs aren't some big fancy concept. But I don't know that scenario with a game on the line or with...
Listen, it was a bad Stefanski game. But the reason why we're not asking was it the worst Stefanski game that we ever coached is because we just did that 2 weeks ago. That was the question we just did 2 weeks ago. Was it the worst Stefanski game ever coached? You can't give me that twice in 3 weeks.
I believe he has.
I know. And so why in 5 years has he done the worst job, the two worst jobs we've ever seen him done in 3 weeks?
Because I think
in 5 years.
I think he's comfortable and confident in what he's comfortable and confident. And moving to a offense that fit Deshaun, I think, is a step outside his comfort zone. And I still think he's trying to have his cake and eat it too by calling the plays. I just don't think he's comfortable.
So I just wonder if he thinks he's got one hand tied behind his back here with all these injuries and everything else attached to it.
Well,
I don't know.
If you're thinking like that, there's facing the reality of that, and then there's constantly living in that. Those are two different things. So my bigger point is, I think yesterday was about 25% on Kevin, the play caller. I think another 25% on Kevin, the leader. Actually, no. I'm going to chop those down to 15% each, because it was 50% on the O-line and then 20% on Deshaun.
Okay.
That was a lot of math.
That was, yeah.
I realized.
You were so adamant. You're like, no. I can't. Someone's gonna come back and yell about the 25%. I gotta knock this down.
Well, I also realized that I was like, 25%. I'm running out of percentages very quickly there. But no, I think it's 30% Kevin, half and half for the play caller versus the head coach. I think it's 50% that O-line.
Do they have enough talent right now?
Yes. Now,
okay.
Now it becomes health. It's the same team minus.
By the way, can I just point out too, for everyone's like, oh, Deshaun just got batted around and he got sacked a ton. Did you see some of the sacks around the NFL yesterday? Packers D versus Tennessee, there was 8 sacks in that game. Broncos D versus Tampa Bay, 7 sacks in that game. Steelers D versus the Chargers, 5 sacks in that game. Vikings D versus Houston, 5 sacks in that game. There were sacks everywhere yesterday.
We are still having a conversation. I feel like I know Baskin and Phelps do the Browns Therapy Monday. I do feel like every once in a while I slip into the therapist of, and how did that game make you feel? Like, there is a part of me that, like, because I'm trying not to do the thing that I think is easy to do and probably wrong to do at this point, which is just to say, well, there are no wrong answers, and scream at anybody that you want and scream about everything that you want.
Yeah, but what if that's true and it does also make us feel better?
That's the thing. Somebody's got to give you the medicine, right?
Yeah, like you're not being a great doctor if this is what you're prescribing up here. Let me yell.
Wait,
you're my
so
therapist, right?
So I'm just supposed to give people the perks and not worry about the addiction?
No hard work attached to this.
So you give
me the easy out and let me deal with that, okay?
I think you and I have different opinions of what a good doctor is.
Ah.
I think a good doctor gives you what you need.
Really?
And you're like...
We're watching the Menendez thing on Netflix right now.
Okay.
Yeah, their doctor did a lot to hide up what happened there.
You know what?
I need that type of doctor, okay?
So I heard you got to
stop
toe.
Maybe not that type of doctor.
How about some Xannies? Like, what are we doing here? I think we got to be the truth doctors.
No, ooh,
but you can also be
angry about this. You can yell about this, and you can also be right, though. You can also be overreacting because it's week three. But I think you can also be very angry. I'm very angry about this.
So, but what you should be angry about, in my opinion, is that they just didn't look to play that hard together.
2 out of 3 weeks.
Yeah, like that's, it's not, it's that you got outclassed, outcoached, out-physicaled, out-everything, as opposed to you're just 1-2.
I mean, I hardly put myself out there, Nick, yesterday in the pregame show and being like, I don't think the Giants are going to score 10 points. I don't know how it happens. Daniel Jones sucks at football. Like, that's not me putting myself out there. That's me just being like very, very blanketed, honest. Everyone is saying these type of statements, and then they made me look like an idiot. Made us all look like idiots.
So we got news here from Tom Pelissero saying Myles Garrett underwent a MRI today that came back clean.
Hmm.
And then he followed up by saying what we have heard today in your 2020s and throughout some of the sound we played that Miles is battling every day. This is from Kevin Stefanski, and we feel he will continue to do that.
Yeah, exactly Oboe said earlier today in talking to the media. He's like, he's going to play this weekend.
Yeah, but to hear the MR, because this is where this actually does matter, because the Browns are not good or forthcoming. I think hearing that the MRI is clean just gives you a little bit more pause, to a little bit more peace of mind. Okay, look, a positive.
That is a positive.
Yeah.
It's also a nice reinforcement of the idea that when Miles is injured, he likes to tell people that he's injured a little bit.
Listen,
that's fine too.
When you have the flu, tell everyone.
That's what it is.
It's called sympathy, all right?
I got none of it.
I don't know that Miles needs any sympathy, you know, being that he's like a 6'5" Adonis that can have any woman he walks into a room with, but and a millionaire. But at the same point, a little sympathy goes a long way.
That's the part of it that's always so confusing to me. It's like no one's gonna think any less of you in any sort of way. You're okay. Just go out there and play. Why am I rhyming
now,
so much?
Now you sound.
Why do I turn into Dr. Seuss?
Now you sound therapizing.
Am I now the calm person in the room?
Yeah. Hey, Miles, this is a safe place. It's okay. A football field.
Well, we all trust Miles. That's the thing, is Miles is the one part of this team that we know is good, and we can definitively say no questions asked is good. And after what we saw yesterday, how many other pieces of this team can you emphatically say we know without question is really, really good and talented and will show up every single week?
Corey Bohorquez, baby.
Bohorquez, great. We're down to punters.
Nobody can pronounce his name in this town yet.
Hey,
but
by the way, Hopkins missed a field goal and no one even mentioned it because it was so far on the totem pole.
It was also 50 yards. I know we're taking 50 yarders for granted now.
We want to put Justin Tucker into a retirement home based off of missing 50 yarders. We can't do this with Hopkins.
Wait, one 50 yarder versus being a career low from 50?
It's on article 5 minutes ago. It's like, Tucker says it's mechanical. It's like, oh, we're asking kickers about their mechanics. Okay, great.
Do you think if he walked us through that, we'd even know what he's talking about?
No, not a chance.
And I wouldn't know.
Not a chance.
You know why? Kickers.
Kickers.
Just make the kicks, man.
Are they even football players? I don't know.
You've heard my takes on this.
I don't know.
Are they even people? 216-474-0092. Is this more than a Watson problem for the Cleveland Browns? Let's go with Gary. Gary, welcome to the show.
Gary.
I really thought Gary had it in him.
You were so indecisive, and then you settled on Gary.
Joe, don't let me down on this. We already got blanked by Gary. May rest
in
peace.
How you doing, guys?
Doing very well, buddy.
Killed Gary.
Yeah, better than Gary, right?
Very much.
Hey, listen, first of all, I just want to commend you guys. You're doing a great job of being really impartial. The normal tendency of everybody is to just dump everything on Deshaun Watson. And believe me, I am not a Deshaun Watson fan. But to directly answer your question, this is certainly way more than a Deshaun Watson problem. There's a few more layers to this onion that goes way above Deshaun Watson's pay grade, if you can imagine that. I just want to know, where did Kevin Stefanski get this moniker or perception of being this great play caller? Where did that happen? Because he only called plays for 1 year in Minnesota, and to the best of my knowledge, they didn't win any Super Bowl or anything, and he had a very good quarterback that's on his fourth major contract now. So why is he considered such a great play caller?
They did go to the NFC title game, didn't they?
Well,
that was with Case Keenum.
Isn't that the one that had like the miracle catch? Or I don't know. here's my whole point.
That was right.
I think his play calling is absolutely horrible. It's this aha thing, you know, like him holding everything in front of his mouth, like the whole world is dying to see what he's saying. I don't think anybody really cares, to be honest with you. That's number one. Number two is, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but having coached a lot of football, every time he runs the ball, and this is when we were running it 20 to 25 times a game, he doesn't run it a second time in a row unless we're running the clock out at the end of the game. He does not run the ball two times in a row. I'm just telling you, you can bank on it. It's 95 to 99%. That is a trend. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I have schooled my team that if I am now blitzing the next play, or I am putting a stunt on, a twist, I'm looping guys, I'm doing everything I can mm-hmm. to put pressure on them because I know he's passing on the next play. Okay? That is number one. Number three, but that is a fact. You guys just watch that.
I like Stefanski as a play caller, Joe. I think he does the other things maybe not as great, but I like him as a play caller.
Oh, no. I'm telling you, the first half of last week, not this past week, he called play. He is capable of doing it. I'm not going to say he's capable of doing it. He did it four-game stretch last year when we had the third and fourth string quarterbacks in there. Then all of a sudden he'll flip out of it. He just can't do it. He can't sustain it. Last week, first half, phenomenal play calling. He did it properly. Even though he's not really setting things up, he doesn't set things up. He's like this, he thinks he's, I'm going to fool you, and he'll come up with this crazy thing to lose yardage when you don't want to use anything that where you're going to lose the yardage.
All right, Joe, we got to run, buddy. We got to run before you get to number three. Okay, be good.
All right. Well, there's about 12.
All right. I imagine. Tweet him at me. At Nick Wilson says, Joe, thank you very much.
I need to go to sleep tonight. So
it's like you. I was so surprised.
You were enjoying it so much. I don't know why.
When he hit me with number two, I went full Arians. I was like, what?
I think you were just trying to see how far he would go.